Just a quick note before we start the show. I have received emails, texts, voicemails from many of you making sure that I'm okay. You have heard about the latest fires up here in the Sonoma County and Napa County area. And we are hanging in there. Yesterday was a bit nerve-wracking, and Monday, today, got very nerve-wracking. But we have managed to avoid evacuation, and so far, cross your fingers, if the wind stays settled down, I think we should be okay. I also want to take this opportunity to thank all the brave men and women who put their lives on the line to save our lives. Just incredible work being done by CAL FIRE and the local agencies. We would not be here in the shape that we are without them. So with that being said, let's get on to the show and talk about photography.
This is Digital Story Podcast number 758, September 29th, 2020. Today's theme is The Glass I Love and The Glass I Use. I'm Derek Story. No doubt, one of the best investments that any artist can make is in quality photography lenses. And I do have some beauties. But what's fascinating to me is that I have lenses that I absolutely love and would be very reluctant to let go of. And then I have those optics that I use on a daily basis. And the funny thing is, the two aren't always the same. I'll explain why on today's TVS Photography Podcast. So before I get into the glass itself, it's funny, when I was writing this podcast, it made me think of a scene from Moonstruck, a really terrific movie with Cher and Olivia Dukakis, Nicolas Cage. I mean, just an outstanding story and great cast, the whole deal. So Cher comes home one night, and I think her mom was up in her bedroom. And Cher went in to say goodnight to her after she had seen Nicolas Cage. She just had started seeing him. And her mom, you know, asked her what she's been doing. And Cher told her. And her mom, Olivia Dukakis, goes, "Do you love him?" And Cher goes, "Oh, Ma, I think I do." And Olivia Dukakis goes, "I'm so sorry." Now, I'm not exactly sure why I'm thinking of that story while I'm thinking about these lenses that I love and the ones that I like, other than I think what Olivia Dukakis was saying is that when you love them, you end up having this attachment that you stick with through thick and thin. Whereas if you just like them, oh, maybe, all right, things start to go south and you're okay with parting ways. And, you know, these lenses I'm going to talk about kind of fall into these two categories. And it was fascinating to me because I've been going through my inventory because I'm not shooting as much right now because, for obvious reasons, all of my jobs for hire are no more right now. I do find myself going back into my inventory and just making sure the cameras are working, you know, just checking things out, just keeping everything ready so that when life comes back, I'm ready to go. And I've discovered that I have lenses that I'm using right now, and I use them all the time. And then I'll come across a lens in the lens safe, and I'll go, "Oh man, I love this lens so much." But maybe I haven't shot with it for a month, 2 months, 3 months. But yet, I wouldn't let go of that lens, basically, no matter what. And maybe the lenses I'm using every day right now, okay. And I go, that's kind of weird, isn't it? It's kind of very interesting. You know, what I'm going to do today is I'm going to talk about five lenses, and I'm not going to tell you which category they go into, whether the like or love category. I'm just going to describe the lenses. I'm going to have you guess along the way, and then at the end, I'll tell you the answers. Okay, so we're going to have a little fun today. To illustrate that point, I want to tell you about one lens from my past that I definitely loved, and that was the Canon EF 85mm f1.8. And I bought this lens decades ago. I mean, back when I was shooting weddings with a EOS Elan 35 millimeter film camera, I bought that lens. That's about $350 then, which was a fair chunk of change, you know, when you're just getting started with your career. But at the same time, it was more affordable than other lenses in its class. And I mean, I just loved the short tele because it was fast at f1.8. It was light. It had very quiet focus. The ultrasonic motor was just terrific on it. It was a good looking lens. And most importantly, it took great pictures. I mean, really great pictures. In fact, one of the metal prints that I have hanging in the studio downstairs was captured with that lens on a Canon 5D in Washington, D.C. And if you're hanging on the wall downstairs, then, you know, you are in rarefied air, because that's the stuff I have to look at every day. And it better be good. All right, it better be good. That lens is responsible for that shot. Here's the funny thing. As much as I loved that lens, I didn't shoot with it that often. I mean, normally I would have a zoom on the camera body, first in the film days, but then even later on when I got the 5D and the 5D Mark II, I'd have something on there like the EF 24 to 105 F4. And, you know, that's what I shot with most of the time. And then every now and then, for some reason, sometimes I didn't even really know why, I would pull out the 85 F1.8 and I said, I'm going to go shoot with that, or I'm going to put it in my bag today or whatever. Kind of just cradle it carefully and set it in there. And then when I shot with it, it was always just sort of this wonderful experience. And I go, wow, you know, it's kind of an interesting phenomenon, how this went with this lens. And finally, I had to let it go when I let go of all my Canon DSLR equipment, because it just didn't make any sense to hang on to this lens if I didn't have a body to put it on. And it was quite the parting when I finally shipped that off to a customer. And I said, hey, you better take good care of this lens. You know, it's like one of those things. So I was thinking about this, how optics kind of fall into these two categories, the ones that you really love, but maybe don't get to use that often or be with that often. And then the ones, you know, that are your everyday, you know, stock and trade, but you don't have quite the same passion for them. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to see how well you know me. Okay. That's what we're going to do. We're going to play with this for a minute, because I'm going to talk about five lenses and I'm going to talk about them straight. In other words, I'm going to give you the name of the lens and then I'm going to read the boilerplate description for it, so you understand what the optic is. But then I'm not going to tell you until I go through all five if I love it or if I just use it. And then there's one lens in here where it's both. I love it and I use it. Okay, so we're going to have two that I love, two that I use, and one that I love and use both. All righty, you ready for this? Okay, so you are going to guess at the end of the description in your own mind which, you know, camp this particular lens falls into. All right, here we go. Here's the first one. The Olympus Digital ED 14 to 42 millimeter f3.5 to 5.6 EZ. And this is the little compact zoom. Sells for $224 right now. Here's the description. Distinguished by its slim pancake form factor, the black Digital ED 14 to 42 from Olympus is a versatile 28 to 84 equivalent zoom designed for Micro Four Thirds mirrorless cameras. Despite its compact profile, this lens includes advanced optical design, which includes a spherical, low dispersion, and high reflective index elements to achieve a high degree of sharpness and clarity throughout the zoom range. All right, so that's the Olympus 14 to 42 EZ pancake lens. Love it or use it? Cast your vote right now. All right, here comes the next one. The Voigtlander Ultron 40 millimeter F2 SL aspherical lens for Nikon F. $419 right now. Featuring a slender profile and slightly wider than normal focal length, The black-rimmed Ultron 40mm F2 from Voigtlander is a versatile prime well-suited to everyday shooting. The double gauss optical design employs a single aspherical element as well as ultra-high reflective index glass to produce well-controlled sharp imagery void of spherical aberrations. Its slightly wide focal length pairs with a bright F2 maximum aperture to benefit making shallow depth of field imagery as well as working in low light conditions. The smooth manual focus operation also contributes to controlling focus position, and both depth of field and focus distance scales are featured on the metal lens barrel to aid in pre-focusing or setting hyperfocal distance. Mixing in classic-inspired design with contemporary usage, the lens also sports an AIS-type CPU to permit in-camera adjustment of the aperture setting for faster, more intuitive exposure control. Okay, so that's the Voigtlander Ultron 40mm F2 for Nikon F. Love it or use it? All right, cast your vote. Here we go. Number 3, the Pentax HD Pentax DA 70mm F2.4 limited lens. It's going right now for $479. The black HD Pentax DA 70mm F2.4 limited lens from Pentax is a prime portrait length lens, providing a 35mm equivalent focal length of 105mm. This short telephoto 23-degree angle of view is well suited to portrait and landscape shooting as well as general long lens applications. A high-grade multi-layer HD coating has been applied to lens elements to help minimize flare and ghosting for enhanced contrast clarity and color fidelity, and a 9-blade diaphragm contributes to an aesthetic out-of-focus quality to benefit shallow depth of field imagery. All right, that's the Pentax HD DA 70mm F2.4 limited lens. Love it or use it? Number 4 on our list, the Olympus Digital 17mm F1.8 lens for $399. A flexible lens for general shooting, the 17mm F1.8 from Olympus is a 34mm equivalent wide-angle prime for Micro Four Thirds mirrorless cameras. The wide field of view pairs with the bright F1.8 maximum aperture to benefit working in difficult lighting conditions, and it also offers increased control over depth of field for working with selective focusing techniques. And a manual focus clutch can be used for more intuitive adjustment and control over focus. Love it or use it? That's the Olympus 17mm F1.8 for $399. Here's number 5, and then I'll give you the answers. Number 5 is the Olympus Digital ED 75mm F1.8 lens for $799. The lens hood for it, which is the coolest lens hood Olympus has going right now, is additional $62. Characterized by its telephoto design and bright maximum aperture, the 75mm F1.8 from Olympus is a 150mm equivalent prime for Micro Four Thirds mirrorless cameras. Coupled with the reach and visual compression of the focal length, the bright F1.8 maximum aperture enables extensive control over depth of field to make this lens ideal for portrait applications. Love it or use it? So let me just review our 5 candidates. 2 are love-its, 2 are uses, and 1 is both. Our first candidate is the Olympus 14-42 Easy Zoom. Second is the Voigtlander Ultron 40mm F2. Third is the Pentax DA 70mm F2.4. Fourth is the Olympus 17mm F1.8. And number 5 is the Olympus 75mm F1.8. Okay, so here are the answers. The Olympus 14-42 Pancake. That's a use it. I mean, this is a cool lens. I have like 3 of them. And I just keep them on all the camera bodies so that whenever I grab the camera, if I have to take a quick shot, if I have to do something like boom, boom, and I don't have time to change lenses and fool around with it, I have this lens on there. It covers a nice range. It performs well. I think it performs very well for what it is. And it adds basically no weight and takes up very little room, even though it's a zoom lens. I use it all the time. Now, do I have any emotional strings to it? Well, not other than, you know, it's super practical. And I'm so glad they made this lens, but I don't love it. I use it constantly. Second one, the Voigtlander Ultron 40mm f2 for Nikon F. Love it or use it? This one is both. This one is both. And that may surprise you, but I love this lens and I use it all the time. Oh my gosh. This lens for me just has everything. It has classic design, which I like, right? I love, you know, lenses that have that look and feel from the 1970s and 1980s. Just solid, beautiful, even has a scalloped focusing ring, the whole deal. The 40 millimeter is such a great focal length to work with that I use it all the time. And what they've done, what Voigtlander has done, is they've not only made it 40 millimeter, which is super versatile, but they made it so that lens really, you can close focus, that lens barrel really extends out. So I can use it for product shots and, you know, anything. I can use it for anything I want. And in fact, I keep it on one of my Nikon DSLRs, and I use it all the time for product work because it's just a great focal length, it's fast, and it close focuses, and it takes marvelous pictures. And then on top of all that, I get the best of both worlds because I get this classic designed lens that is just beautiful to look at, takes great pictures, and it has a CPU, so I can use it on any of my Nikons. I can use it on a Nikon film camera, and I can shoot in program mode, or I can use it on, you know, my Nikon D610. I can use it on the D700. Use it on any Nikon camera that I have, and it works great. It records metadata and allows me to use all the camera functions. Every time I use this lens, I smile. I smile every time I use this lens. So I love this lens. I doubt I will ever get rid of it. And I use it all the time. Surprising, isn't it, that it happens to be the Voigtlander that scores in both categories. All right, number three, the Pentax DA 70mm f2.4. When I stumbled into this little guy, and it is a little guy, it's a very compact lens, that 105 effective focal length on my Pentax KP with a really nice background. I mean, the backgrounds on this lens are beautiful. The color rendition is fantastic on the Pentax KP, and it's sharp, 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 and it's reasonably fast at f2.4. I would love it if it was f1.8, but I'm quite happy at f2.4. Doesn't take up hardly any room on the camera. It's got a cool built-in lens. That, I mean, this is just like one of those lenses that just checks all the boxes. And I absolutely love it. I love this lens. This lens and I would say the 20 to 40 millimeter zoom are the reason why I bought a Pentax body. I like these two lenses so much, the 70 millimeter, and I haven't talked about the 20 to 40, but it's in the same category. I could have gone with that one too. I like those lenses so much that it made me buy a body to put them on. That's how crazy I am about them. Now, I don't get to use the 70 millimeter very much. I'm usually, like I was talking about with the Canon 85, usually have a zoom on the Pentax, usually the 20 to 40 actually. When I do get to use the 70 millimeter, I love, love, love it. Next one, the Olympus Digital 17 millimeter f1.8. The 1.8, I use it. And I use it all the time. This lens is so practical. And you know the 14 to 42 EZ, that's good as, okay, I just need this on here, or I'm gonna go, you know, out for a walk or whatever, that's great. But when I'm in the studio, or if I'm using my PenF as a webcam, or if I'm going to be doing some landscape, if I'm going to be doing portrait, this 17mm f1.8 is so super versatile. It's got a great effective focal length of 34mm. It's fast at f1.8. It has a snap focus so that I can use it either as an autofocus, which it excels at, or I can use it as a manual focus lens. And if I use it as a manual focus lens, it has depth of field scale and all that stuff. If I only had to have two lenses for my Olympus camera, I would have this lens and I would have the 14-42. I use them all the time. Am I in love with the lens? I am not in love with it, but boy, do I respect it, and boy, do I use the heck out of it. I have two of them. I have a silver one and a black one. Silver one is on the PenF almost all the time. Here's the last one, the digital 75mm f1.8 telephoto lens, and I love it. I love this one. I love looking at this lens. I love looking through the viewfinder when that lens is mounted on a camera. I love the pictures that it takes. I don't get to use it that often. I mean, 150mm is not a lens that I use, you know, all the time. It's just every now and then. But I have to tell you, I think about this lens. I pull this lens out when I'm doing inventory. And when I do shoot with it, I am so thankful that I have this lens. It is, again, one lens that I doubt I will ever let go of. And the pictures are beautiful. One of the things that the 75 can do that hardly any of the other Micro Four Thirds lenses do as well as it is that you focus on your subject, whatever your subject happens to be, use a fairly wide aperture, and that background goes soft. It goes creamy, and you go, that's like a full frame, you know, look on a Micro Four Thirds camera. There's something magical about that lens that, you know, once it goes outside of, you know, where you're focused, it just changes completely. And it changes in a most beautiful, creamy, colorful way. This lens defies optical physics as far as I'm concerned. It is the sexiest lens that Olympus makes in terms of looking at it. And that lens hood that I paid $62 for, worth every penny. It's worth every penny. So those are 5 examples of love it or use it. And I'd be curious, you know, I'm gonna post this podcast on Facebook like I do every week. I would love to see, you know, that pairing from you, because I think it's just fascinating to talk about these things. And, you know, as photographers, we all have a special place in our heart for the optics that, you know, deliver the goods for us. Let me know what yours are, you know, post on our Facebook page and share that with not only me, but everyone else as well. Newspaper Navigator lets you search 1.56 million newspaper photos throughout history. So this is a post that I came across this last week. I think I shared it on social. It's from Petapixel, and I have the link to the original article there so you can get all the good stuff about it. But I love projects like this. And let me just read you what's going on here at the Library of Congress. The Library of Congress has created something really cool. It's called the Newspaper Navigator, and it's an AI-powered image search that lets you browse through over 1.5 million newspaper photos from over 16 million pages worth of digitized newspapers published between 1900 and 1963. The Newspaper Navigator project is the brainchild of computer scientist, PhD student Benjamin Charles Germain Lee, who is part of the Library Congress 2020 Innovator in Residence program. Yes, and indeed did he deliver, right? The project is essentially a machine learning-based search engine built on top of the Library of Congress's Chronicling America already allows you to search old newspaper photos by text using optical character recognition. But Lee's Newspaper Navigator takes it to the next level by allowing you to search the same archive by image. By image. And, oh, wow. That's smart. He achieved this by training a machine learning model using thousands of manual annotations created by real people as part of the Library of Congress Beyond Words initiative. That data helped the computer learn the difference between image categories like cartoons, illustrations, maps, and photographs, as well as identifying key content within each image. This allowed him to automatically tag the photos and make the database searchable. This is a cool project. There's a link in the article that takes you to more information about it, and you can check it out for yourself. This is where technology really comes in to make something important more useful. And just really hats off to the Library of Congress and hats off to Benjamin Charles Germain Lee. Well done. The new donation kit for carefree shipping of found film cameras. I just want to mention this this week. If you have a film camera that you have stumbled across and you are willing to let me refurbish it, clean it up, prepare it, put it in the film camera shop, and then get it into the hands of someone who wants to use it right now, all you have to do is go to thenimblephotographer.com. Use the contact form there. It says contact form right at the top. There's even a category for donating a film camera. Let me know what you have. And then I have a donation kit that I will send you. And it has the box. You just have to unfold it, tape it up. It has the shipping label all ready to go and paid for. And all you have to do is put your stuff in that box, tape it up, and send it to me. And then I'll take it from there. There are a lot of young people right now, especially people taking college courses and so forth, that want this gear. They want something reliable, not something dusty that they get on eBay that may or may not work. The stuff I ship, I don't ship it unless it works because I've worked on it. You can contribute by just using that contact form. Get in touch with me and thank you for thinking of us for your old film equipment. I want to talk for a minute about the online Eastern Sierra Photography Workshop that's coming up on Friday, November 6th and Saturday, November 7th. Okay, that's coming up here before we know it. I have been doing a lot of work on this, and this thing is going to be fun. I tell you, if you're feeling isolated and lonely right now and you want to have a shared photography experience, I think this is truly going to scratch that itch. We are going to be able to communicate with one another. We're going to be able to share ideas. And this isn't going to be just sitting on Zoom all day, November 6th and 7th. I have all sorts of different activities, not only during the workshop itself, but leading up to the workshop. We're actually going to start on October 21st. Those that have signed up for the workshop, we're actually going to start on October 21st. And we are going to do a variety of different things on each of those 2 days and then leading up to it. So we will have some live video. Absolutely. That's always going to be part of it. But it's going to be broken up with activities. We're going to have these hangout sessions where I just open up the text chat and we all can just chat away. You don't have to worry about if your hair's combed or not or what the light is. We're especially going to do that first thing in the morning while we're still having our coffee and stuff. We're going to have sharing, and I've got all sorts of cool things for you to share, including what your favorite piece of landscape equipment is. You know, this is going to be a blast, and we're going to do picture review if you're interested in doing that. You're going to have the assignments beforehand. You're going to get those to me. And then we will have a chance, if you want to hear feedback on those pictures, I will do that and the others will contribute as well. We're actually creating a workshop community here that will continue going on after the workshop. So if you decide that you're going to go to the Eastern Sierra in the spring and you know that a bunch of people in this workshop have been, then you can tap them as a resource. And you know that, and you can continue to share pictures and get feedback and all that sort of stuff. So this is going to be really special. I think this is going to have a lot of the essence of our physical workshops in an online form, and I think you're going to love it. Now, because I want to maintain the intimacy of our workshops, I'm limiting the seats to 15 for this. And I want to ensure that we have ample opportunity to work with one another. We're already at 11 right now. So there are 4 seats left, If you're interested in joining us, all you have to do is go to thenimblephotographer.com, click on workshops. You'll see it right there. It's $150 for the whole experience. If you're a Patreon member, it's $125, and you have the discount code on our Patreon site. And if you've already signed up for the Eastern Sierra physical workshop, then your $100 gets you this workshop with no more, because I appreciate you being patient while I work through all this stuff. 4 seats left, and then I'm going to close it off for this particular workshop. This is going to be a blast, and those of you that have already signed up, I'm so happy to have you be a part of this inaugural event, and I think you're going to love it. Speaking of our Patreon members, I want to give all of you a shout out. Thank you so much for supporting this show and being a part of our community and helping to keep this podcast on the air and giving me just that little bit of breathing space I need to innovate and create new products such as the online Eastern Sierra Workshop. Thank you so much. If you want to become part of this elite group that supports this community, then all you have to do is click on the Patreon tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story. Check it out, and hopefully at some point you will join us, and I think you'll be glad you did. And finally, I'd like to give a shout out to our good friends at Red River Paper, the longest running sponsor of this podcast, the folks that know everything there is to know about inkjet printing. They have the paper, and I mean they have the paper. They have a lot of different types of paper for practically any project you'd work on. They have ink. They have all the stuff that goes with it. They have tutorials. They have reviews. And we're coming into the time of year where we probably should start thinking about making some fine art greeting cards and some prints as gifts. Because if you have some wonderful imagery, why not put it on paper and share it with those whom you love? Alrighty. Red River Paper, they have a great Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. And click on the tile that's on every page of the Digital Story and see what's going on. Make some artwork. All right, that's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed our activity. And please, please share your lenses with us on our Facebook page. Come back and join us next week. Until then, be safe, be creative. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.